Tom Tubergen. I'm back here again with another module in the introduction portion of the marketing course. And this particular module, we're going to talk about marketing funnels. And we're going to refer to a PDF document that you have in your course outline called How a Marketing Funnel Works. Marketing funnels are actually very similar to the customer value optimization journey, which is a more of a psychological examination of the journey that a customer takes during the buying portion process or in the psychological buy-in process of associating yourself with a product, with a service, or with some sort of a organization. Marketing funnels are actually very similar to that, but they're more concentrated on the logistical step one, step two, step three part of how you attract people, get leads, what you're going to do with them next, where they are step by step. They don't deal at all with the psychological aspect necessarily of converting a lead into a customer. And also, marketing funnels are actually is a thought process that's been around for a long time. Marketing funnels have, the concept of a marketing funnel has existed for decades, whereas this whole thought process behind the customer optimization journey has actually been much more recent as new research has been created on that. But anyway, we're going to work our way through the PDF document that we have here, How a Marketing Funnel Works. And my thought is we'd kind of read through it together, and I would take the opportunity to explain some of the concepts and some of the higher points here that you need to be aware of. You know, there's a lot of debate that surrounds marketing funnels, from who owns it, whether it's marketing department or the sales department, and whether it's even relevant to today's consumer buying process. And I think there is a definite shift away from the marketing funnel and more towards the optimization journey, but that's a whole different can of worms than what we're interested in here today. What we're going to talk about here is what you need to know about marketing funnels, and we're going to look at some of the recent changes and some of the challenges for marketing people, and I'll compare B2C and B2B uses of a marketing funnel as well, and talk about some of the hype around marketing versus sales ownership debate. Now, in case you're not familiar, we mentioned a couple of terms here, a couple of acronyms called B2C and B2B. B2C is really a business that is selling consumer-oriented goods, like groceries, for example. Is a B2C type business. The other term that we talked about was B2B, and that's a business who creates products, does services for other businesses. And you might think of somebody who makes metal stampings, for example, that they sell to the automotive companies to build cars. That would be a B2B type business. More recently, in 2017, I'm starting to hear a lot of things about H2H type businesses, and that refers to human-to-human interaction. Simply because technology has changed so dramatically over the last several years that we're now just dealing with humans who have specific needs, specific things that they need to solve, as opposed to a business organization. It's driven even deeper down into the human level. So we're going to compare the B2C, B2B uses of the funnel. We're going to break down some of the hype around the marketing versus the sales ownership debate. And we're going to explain how the marketing funnel can be flipped or worked or manipulated to generate more leads, more sales leads. And we'll explore some of the nonlinear approaches to a marketing funnel. But let's start by creating a basic framework. What is a funnel? What does it involve? What are the components of it? So we'll start with the next section. What is a marketing funnel? The marketing funnel is a visualization for understanding the process of turning leads into customers or turning people from being aware into your best advocates or your best promoters. And that's as in the context of a marketing and or a sales perspective. The idea is that, like a funnel, marketers can throw out kind of a broad net to capture as many leads as possible, and then slowly nurture prospective customers through that value optimization journey, narrowing down these candidates in each stage of that funnel. There's specific stages in a funnel, just like there's specific steps in that customer value optimization journey that we were talking about earlier in other modules. So ideally, the marketing funnel would actually be a marketing cylinder, and all of your leads are going to turn into customers. 100% of your leads would turn into clients or customers for your business. And this actually is, obviously, as we've said before in other modules, it's not a reality for businesses. It's part of a marketer's job to turn as many leads into customers as possible and making the funnel more cylindrical in nature instead of a funnel shape. It's important to note that there's not a single agreed-upon version of the funnel. Some of them have many stages, while others may have two or three, and they might have different names and actions taken by the business and the consumer for each. And you'll see the diagram that's on the next page. We've done what we could to kind of pull out the common and the more relevant funnel stages, terms, and actions so that the information is as useful as possible to the different marketing people. So let's talk a little bit in the next section here about the marketing funnel stages and the conversions from one stage to the next stage. You'll see in the diagram that very similar to the customer value optimization process that we talk about in a couple other modules in this section, that there's different steps. There's an awareness phase. There's a phase, the next phase down the funnel is people are expressing an interest in you and what you're doing, what you have. Then they actively begin considering, well, is this right for me or is this right for my business or isn't it? And then they drop down into the even lower in the process in the marketing funnel. Is there an intent to purchase? They start going, they've made the decision that, yes, this sounds good. Now what's involved in me actively getting engaged with this product, with this service, or with your ministry? And then they go through the evaluation phase. How do I fit in? How do I use this? What's in this for me? So on. And then they actually make the commitment, the purchase commitment. They buy your product, they buy your service, or they actively get involved in a ministry or a church-type application. So the next several paragraphs on here talk about this in more detail, the awareness, the interest, consideration. We'll probably skip through that for now. How does marketing funnel differ for different types of businesses? And again, they're referring here to the B2C and the B2B type scenarios. And to better help you understand how that marketing funnel differs, let's take a look at the modified diagram that's right immediately below this on, I think it's page 3 of your handout, which outlines B2C and B2B consumer actions and conversions in each stage of the funnel. So the top one here we see is generally the same. It's an awareness phase. It looks for information. The interest phase, you're talking about learning about products for the consumer side of things. On the business side, they might be looking at engineering information. They might be looking at specific products to solve a problem that they have with a project that they may be working on. And then the consideration phase, think about how you buy products online, if you buy products online. Are you reading reviews? Are you comparing one product against other products that you're finding on your searches in Amazon or in Google? Whereas buyers at a business are going to share research on products. They're going to associate brands such as an IBM product or another well-known name with other stakeholders in the process. Further down, the intent for a consumer, they would actually demonstrate that by putting the product in a cart, in a shopping cart online, for example. In the business world, they would probably contact someone and say, We need to see a demo. We need to have a tangible product in our hands. Can you come by? Can you talk about what you have and how this might work for us? In the evaluation phase, a consumer is going to look at the shopping cart. They're going to review what they have. They'll look at the shipping costs. They're going to look at the quantity to make sure that the quantity is right. They're getting one and not two. And then they'll go to the checkout process. Whereas in the business world, they may get an actual physical quote on paper or email, and the buyer at the business will review that, make sure it looks good. He'll probably issue a purchase order, which will get mailed or emailed back to the person supplying that product or the service. And then the purchase process at the very bottom of the marketing funnel, they talk about the sales transaction that needs to get completed, or the process, the checkout process actually is completed. And the same would be true for the business aspect of this. So let's talk a little bit. So that actually talks about the whole marketing funnel concept. And this is, like I said at the very beginning, this is actually fairly old, old school marketing process here. And it's still true. The only difference is the customer value journey that we talked about in these other two modules in this section is that there's less detail here, and it's more concerned with process than it is with the psychological impacts of getting a consumer to buy. All right, nonlinear funnels. They talk in the document here about nonlinear funnels. Some experts argue that marketing funnels aren't relevant anymore because the buying process is no longer linear. Leads are coming into the funnel at different stages. In other words, they may not always start out at the awareness phase. Maybe they've been aware of your product or your service or your ministry for many years, and they might jump in at a different level on the marketing funnel or even on the optimization journey thing. Sometimes this happens because they're referred, or they may have just moved into an area. They're new movers, and they already know that they want to buy a brand's product. So they jump in at the intent stage. And it also happens because they've pursued their own education. They jump in at the interest or the consideration level of a marketing funnel. As access to information has increased due to the technological advances and capabilities, specifically with the internet, customers are increasingly doing their own research and depending on digital content to give them the information that they need about products and services. In fact, B2B customers specifically are going through about 57% of a marketing funnel process on their own before they even encounter a sales rep or they have a conversation with the seller of the product or the service. One alternative to the marketing funnel is McKinsey. It's a big, very well-known, very elite consulting firm. Their consumer decision journey, similar to the Valley Optimization journey that we talk about, which employs kind of a circular model to show how the buying process is actually kind of a vicious circle, I guess you could say, and to highlight pivot points or touch points on the process. Touch points meaning where your product, where your information will actually contact or come into contact with a potential prospect. And you can see the diagram that they have here, the orange and the blue diagram down below here. They go on here in the document, in the PDF document, say that some experts doubt the approach. Brands may put the decision in the center of the journey, but customers don't always do that. There still isn't really a perfect model, except for the fact that I really personally subscribe to the customer value optimization journey process. So both the customer decision journey and the marketing funnel simultaneously will be used by marketers. And therefore, they're both actually still very relevant processes. In a typical profit-making larger business where you have discrete departments of people in marketing and other people who work explicitly in sales. There's a lot of tension between the two areas, and they talk about marketing versus sales. Who owns this funnel? Who owns this process of nurturing people, nurturing sales prospects through the process from making the initial contact, becoming an actual lead, to becoming your best customer? There's a real heated debate that's happening, continues to happen, I really should say, in the marketing and sales world over exactly who's in charge of that whole process. One side's going to argue that as consumers have become a lot more dependent on digital content to inform their purchasing decisions, marketers have taken on a lot more responsibility for the funnel. They continue to nurture prospects through the purchasing process. Take a look at the diagram below to see how marketing and sales ownership of the funnel has changed. And you can see the old paradigm on the left where they talk about the sales and marketing. Marketing is responsible for creating awareness and interest, where sales follows up and contacts people who have expressed the interest to actually bring them to the very end of the process and convert them into clients. In the new paradigm, marketing is responsible for so much more. They go through the, they will take it right through the consideration portion of the funnel process, the intent portion of the funnel process, and that's where sales could really pick up and move on with this. All right, flipping the funnel, marketing the customer experience. They show the practice for marketing, sales, customer service, and experience managers is really to flip the funnel into a customer experience funnel. This is a kind of a new thing that is kind of an interesting take on this. The funnel outlines the process of turning customers into advocates, which in turn refuels the top of the marketing funnel by driving awareness, driving lead generation, creating more sales lead. And the diagram for that customer experience funnel is down below that you see here. Some of the more important stages of the customer experience funnel are to repeat, which means the customer has already made a purchase. The next step is to make them a repeat customer. It means improving the retention, nurturing customers to make more purchases, bigger purchases. Marketers continue activities at the bottom of the funnel, I should say, to encourage these repeat actions by the customer. And I might say that in the again, in the marketing world, in the secular world of promoting products, promoting services, working with and nurturing existing customers is easily the least path of resistance for generating more activity, more revenue, more sales. And so the final step on this particular customer experience funnel is the advocacy phase. And this is where you turn your customers into advocates. And it's really kind of the end game for marketing people. So these are a couple of different examples of marketing funnels, the whole theory behind marketing funnels and how marketing people use them and apply them to the profession of generating more leads, generating more interest for whatever it is they're working with, and converting them into physically paying customers or into advocates for your ministry or your business or whatever you're doing. See you next time.